ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Well, the theme of the meeting is revival. Revival. And I'll just read from the theme text, Psalm 85 and verse 6. Psalm 85 verse 6. We'll start from there. It says, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Wilt thou not revive us again?" Now that was the heart cry of those people. Praise God. And let's read a second text, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 from verse 19 to 21. Acts chapter 3 from verse 19 to 21. It says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive." Actually, that word receive, a better translation of that Greek word is the heavens must retain until the times of restitution, or if you like, restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to gather together, to mingle our voices in prayer, in praise, in adoration for your loving kindnesses and your tender mercies that are forever ours. Thank you for this word conference that began powerfully yesterday. Thank you for the things you've already spoken to our hearts, and we choose to take heed to those things. Thank you for that which you have for us again today. I trust that by your Spirit, you will think through my mind. You'll speak through my lips. You'll act through my deeds. You'll anoint me to stand and minister in the office of my call. And we'll give all the praise, honor, and adoration for everything that will be wrought in our midst to that worthy and majestic name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're talking about revival, and it's always been the plan of God, the purpose of God, that we walk in his power, that we be carriers of his glory and dispensers of his might on the face of the earth. That has always been his plan. Now, to revive means to bring something to life that perhaps was dead. And God really wants us to walk in his power. He wants us to walk in his might and wants us to walk in his ability. And that's his will. We saw in Psalm 85, and it's believed, if you read that entire chapter, that that psalm was written after the children of Israel had come from Babylonian captivity. And it was their heart cry to see God move again in their midst. It was their heart cry. They yearned for his power. They yearned to see his move in their midst. And that has always been the heart cry of humanity. The truth is that man was made by this miracle-working God. So there's a deep-seated hunger in the heart of universal man for the miraculous. Man craves the touch of the unseen. You see, it's just something about man. He was made to fellowship with God. He was made to walk with God. And like a cycle, you know, many times God's people, they will lapse into a phase where they are not seeking God like they ought to. And then there'll be another stirring of God's power, stirring. God will raise a leader and he will stir the people in the direction of the things of God. And then sometimes people will lapse again into, you know, doing their own things, going their own way. And then there'll be that yearning in men's hearts. They begin to seek after God again. And then God will show up. You see, God's best is really that we just walk in a blaze of his glory, that we just walk in a blaze of his power. In the other place we read in Acts chapter 3, the Bible tells us that the heavens actually will retain Jesus until the time of the restitution or the restoration of all things. Look, times of refreshing always come from the presence of the Lord. Revivals actually come in waves. They come in waves. And it's God's way of doing things. And sometimes he emphasizes a certain truth. He emphasizes a certain thing at a certain time. And then there's a wave of revival. And then there comes another wave. And then there comes another wave. And God wants us to be on the cutting edge about that which he wants done on the face of the earth. God wants us to always be in that place. Amen. You see, so we know that the body of Christ is going to see the greatest deluge of the power of God just before Jesus' return. Look, they didn't have one church way back then, and we have another church now. The church is not twins. The church is not triplets. It's the same church. Praise God. And if you read in the Acts of the Apostles, you know, there are 28 chapters in that book, you discover that there was no concluding verse. The truth is this: the acts of the Holy Ghost through the church haven't been concluded yet. Chapters are yet being written, amen, through men and women who will dare to stand out for God, to walk in his will, to do his bidding. Praise God. So it's God's plan that we have revival. It's God's plan that we experience his move. And you see, if we as his people will seek him, We'll contend for the supernatural. We contend for the moving of his spirit the way we ought to. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. That's the truth. We're going to see it. Amen. You see, it's God who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So that hunger that we have to see revival, it's God that put it there. And the reason he put it there is because he wants us to experience it. Amen. Now, all through Bible history, we see that there were revivals, there were moves of God, there were stirrings of God. Remember, at a time when the people had lapsed into atheism, people doing their own thing, God saw a man by the name Abraham. Abraham initially, before God changed his name to Abraham, and he asked the man to come out from his father's house, from his kindred, to a land he would show him. And God cut a covenant with that man, and through him, a nation was eventually birthed. God was able to bring Jesus on the earth through that man, Abraham. And then we see how he began to walk with God. He began to learn the ways of God. He began to teach his descendants the same. And they began to pursue the things of God. We see how eventually his descendants, how they were sojourners in a foreign land, in the land of Egypt. And how God brought them forth with a strong hand. He raised that man, Moses. You know, there was a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. And that Pharaoh began to ill-treat the people of God. They were taskmasters, and they began to put so much hard labor on them and all. And so the people began to seek God. And as they began to seek him, God raised Moses. And he told him to go and bring his people from Egyptian captivity. And through staggering signs and wonders, awesome demonstrations of his glory, something that the earth had never seen, a nation came out of a nation, praise God, and they started toward their homeland. And then we'll see, under the leadership of Moses, again and again, God will show himself strong on their behalf. They'll begin to murmur, they'll begin to gripe, and then, you know, after some time, they'll repent and then begin to seek God, and God will show up for them. That began to happen. We saw it in the life of the judges, people like Jephthah, like Samson, you know, Deborah. We saw those judges that God raised. And then we saw how David came on the scene, a man after God's own heart, who did all of God's will, who followed the things of God. And 40 golden years in Israel, where that man led the people of God. We come over into the New Testament, and we see how Jesus, amen, he blazed a revival. His ministry was a ministry of the supernatural. His ministry was a ministry of the miraculous. His conception was wonderful. His birth was wonderful. His life was wonderful. His ministry was wonderful. His teachings were wonderful. Remember that Isaiah said of him that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We saw him, how he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. He taught the word of God. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He healed the sick. He demonstrated the power of God. So Jesus walked in the supernatural. He walked in God's power. And he didn't only do that. He had a team of men, the 12 disciples who became the apostles. And they also were people who walked in the supernatural, who walked in God's power. And then we see in the Acts of the Apostles, Peter, the same fearful Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached such a bold sermon. And we saw how 3,000 men came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was a revival. People came to life, to the life of God. We read about Philip, how Philip went down to Samaria, preached Christ unto them, Acts 8, from verse 5 to 8. How the people gave in one accord, hearing and seeing the miracles. Unclean spirits came out of many that were possessed. Many that were lame and had the palsy were healed. There was great joy in that city. We see a man like Stephen. And when the Bible talks about him, how he was full of faith and power. And he did great wonders and miracles among the people. We see about Paul, a man that God raised. God got his attention. While he was on that road to Damascus, saw a bright light, fell to the earth. And then the Lord Jesus spoke to him and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he said to the Lord, "What will you have me do?" Lord told him to go to the city. He told you what you'll do. And he went to the city and God raised Ananias, went, laid hands on him. Paul got filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And he just went on fire, all on fire for God. Man ended up writing half of the New Testament. And we could go on and on, not just in Bible times, even in modern days, how there have been the revivals through time. You know, God's people will begin to seek him again. We'll begin to hunger after the things of God. And then his fire will fall. And there'll be a wave of his glory. There'll be a wave of his power. And then after a while, sometimes that will begin to wane a little bit. And then there'll come another wave of God's revival. And then oftentimes there's a main emphasis with each revival. In modern times, in the early 1900s, we read about the Azusa Street Revival, how Pentecostalism came again. Amen. What had happened on the day of Pentecost, how the baptism in the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, how that came to the modern church. And it was phenomenal. People started getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And churches came out of that. Denominations came out of that. Awesome, awesome things came out of that. People got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And then there was God's power. And then from 1947 through to 1958, we read about how there was this healing revival in America and how God raised outstanding healing evangelists who walked in the power of God. Men like William Branham, Jack Cole, A.A. Allen, awesome men, anointed by God's Spirit. How healing as a subject God emphasized at that time during the Pentecostal, the Azusa Street Revival, the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. The fact that that's still for believers today, that was what was emphasized at that time. Then during the healing revival, divine healing was emphasized and people got saved in their thousands. Praise God. But then not only was it that it was in America that was happening, great things were also happening. Like there have been revivals in our country down through the years. Outstanding revivals, outstanding moves of God. Well, when that healing revival began to wane, the next revival was the charismatic renewal, where the denominational church got visited. People of other religions got visited, and they came into the fullness of the new birth and the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And then that happened in the 60s, in the 70s. And as that began to wane, there was another emphasis, another wave of God's glory, another wave of revival, where the teaching ministry came into prominence. And then the faith message got taught. And God raised people like Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, a blessed memory. Kenneth Copeland, Charles Capps, John Osteen, Frederick Casey Price. Awesome teachers who emphasized that subject of faith. And that was a big blessing to the body of Christ. The 70s, the 80s. And then some times about the 90s, there came another revival, another emphasis, where the office of the apostle and the office of the prophet, those were offices that people hadn't really appreciated or understood, like, oh, they ought to. But then some of those things came. We saw the prophet's office coming to more prominence, and that was awesome. Yes, of course, with some of these things, there are always people who go on left field. There are always people who go to emphasis and who stretch things and all that, but that doesn't deal with the real. Praise God. We know that God gave gifts to men, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So thank God for that, where people began to recognize those offices. Of course, you know, you can put any kind of label you want on an empty can. It won't put something in it. I've met some of these so-called apostles who haven't as much as established the poultry. Amen. That's not, you can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. It won't make you that thin. Praise God. Empty barrels have always made the loudest noises. But it doesn't deal with the fact that they're real apostles of God, whether they call themselves that or not. It doesn't deal with the fact that they're real prophets of God. People called to stand in that office. Praise God. And we began to see that some more. And also, about that same time, there came some emphasis about deliverance, the authority of the believer, dealing with demons. Yeah, that was also pushed to an extreme. And then, in the mid-90s, early 2000s, God began to emphasize about demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. Brother Hagin said the Lord said to him that there's a move of the Spirit that will be lost to this generation, except they are led into it, that there are other people in the body of Christ who help get the job done on the faith teaching, such as Charles Capps. He said he wants him to teach on the Holy Ghost. And then he began to teach on that, not just him, but he spearheaded that. And then the Lord emphasized to him, he asked the Lord, he said, what's the Holy Ghost meeting? And the Lord said to him, he said, three things really, that in the Holy Ghost meeting, the word of God is preached and are taught. In a Holy Ghost meeting, the Spirit of God is leading, he's guiding, he's in demonstration, and he's in manifestation. And then he said, number three, in a Holy Ghost meeting, the needs of the people are met, and they are full of joy. And then the Lord particularly emphasized that to him, about rejoicing in the Spirit, physical demonstrations, laughing in the Spirit, dancing in the Spirit, people falling under the power of God, people being glued to the floor, people being struck speechless. Praise God. Physical demonstrations, people being caught away in the trances and things of that sort. Thank God for that. But listen, it's God's plan. It's God's will that we walk in revival. Now, what many times happens is that there's one emphasis and then one wave and then another wave comes. You see, God's plan was never that a truth get lost. No, it's that these truths, which have always been in his word, but somehow the body of Christ, we don't walk in those truths we should. So oftentimes God raises a man. And that assignment to emphasize that, and then his power backs up that person. And then there's that emphasis in the body of Christ. But God's will is not that this move should die out, and then we now wait for so many years, then another one should come. No, God's plan is that these things are in waves. Before this wave reaches the shore, another one comes, and another one comes. So really, it should be about adding to these truths and adding to these emphases, and the church walking in the middle of the road in the fullness of our rights and of our privileges in Christ. Now, where are we today? This is 2021. What is God doing on the earth? I tell you, the same thing he's been doing. He's building strong local churches. He's teaching them to flow in the supernatural. It's his emphasis. It's his plan. It's his will. The heavens must retain Jesus until the restoration, until the restitution of all things. Listen to me. There is a world out there that's lost. There is a world out there that's dying. And Jesus will not come until we are able to reach all the unreached people groups. If we read in the book of Revelation chapter 5, we see that in heaven, there are people of all tribes, all nations, all tongues, all people groups are represented. So if there are people groups on the earth today that haven't heard the gospel, and there are, then we know that Jesus isn't just coming yet. Why? Because we've got a work to do. We've got an assignment on our hands. And that's what God is emphasizing now. He's emphasizing the church, us teaming up together, going forth with the gospel, going forth with the power of God, reaching the unreached with the saving message of Jesus. And that message being backed up with the power of God. That's what he's emphasizing. The book of James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. The Bible lets us know. It says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." It says, "The husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and he has long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain." It says, "Be patient therefore, establish your hearts in the Lord, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Now, why hasn't Jesus come? What is he waiting for? Is he waiting for every church to have the correct church government? Certainly not. Is he waiting for every single believer to reach mature manhood in Christ for him to come? Certainly not. You see, the day Jesus will come, there will be people that just got saved the previous day. So we'll always have baby Christians in the body of Christ. Yes, the body of Christ as a whole will come to maturity, no doubt. Amen. We'll come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. Talking about the body of Christ as a whole. But you see, there will always be baby Christians in the body. So why hasn't Jesus come then? Look, he's waiting for the harvest. He's waiting for the harvest. Like the scripture we read, the heavens must retain Jesus until the restoration of all things. So we know that there's going to be a restoration of the character of Christ. People are going to walk in love. People are going to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to see that. And we're beginning to see that. We're beginning to see people mature, take their place in Christ, display the character of Christ. Both talking about the clergy and the laity. Well, really, talking about everybody in the body of Christ, because in a sense, we've all been given the ministry of restoration. Now, is everybody called to a fivefold ministry office? No. But every believer, it has a part to play in God's end time revival. Every believer has his place to fill in that plan. Amen. So we're going to see the restoration of the character of Christ. But not just that. We're also going to see a restoration of the authority of Christ. Men are going to walk in dominion. You know, the Father said to Jesus, he says, "Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Now, how is God going to make Jesus' enemies his footstool? He's going to do it through the church. So as a body of believers, the church is going to rise up in that dominion. Amen. In that authority, the knowledge of the authority of the believer, taking our place in our dominion in Christ. And we're going to walk in triumph over sin, over sickness, over disease, over poverty, over the forces of darkness, over demon activity in the financial realm, in every sphere, praise God. But not just that. It's not just that we're going to see a restoration of the authority of Christ and the character of Christ. We're also going to see a restoration of the power of Christ. Gifts of the Spirit are going to be in manifestation in ways we have never seen before. Yeah. Is it going to be something entirely new? No. In a sense, there's nothing new under the sun. Yes, we know we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, but God is still doing the same things he does, the same thing he's always done in line with his word. We're going to see gifts of the Spirit in their full orb. We're going to see ministry gifts stand in their full potential. Now, we don't know too many prophets who stand in that office in the fullness of it. We don't know too many apostles who stand in that office in the fullness of it. Look at a man like John Graham Lake. 1907 to 1912 was in South Africa. In 5 years, over 600 churches were established. Amen. Came back to Spokane, Washington. Spokane was declared the healthiest city in America. Ran doctors out of town. They documented 100,000 healings in 5 years. My God, that was something else. Amen. That was an apostle. Amen. We're going to see that. We're going to see those ministry gifts. The office of the evangelist. The office of the pastor. People actually called to pastor with the shepherd's heart. Glory to God. The teacher. The teaching ministry. We're going to see the fivefold ministry offices working in their full potential. But you see, we're going to see the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 1, says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I'll not have you ignorant. Ye know that you are Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord or by the Holy Ghost. Now, diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Diversities of operations, but the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and diverse kinds of tongues, another interpretation of tongues. Says, but all these work at that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So those nine manifestations of the Holy Ghost, really, they belong to the church. And the church is going to walk in the fullness of those things. The revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, the power gifts, a special faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings, the utterance gifts, prophecy, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. We're going to see a restoration of them in the fullness thereof. Yes, I know these things have been abused, can be abused. They've always been abused, even in Bible times. That's why Paul had to address those things in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, just like we still need to do today. But you see, you don't throw the baby away with the dirty bath water. Because some people have gone to seed on certain things, it doesn't mean that we throw the reality away. Well, amen. They're still the real. They're still the real. And God wants us to contend for the move of His Spirit. God wants us to contend for the move of His power. And guess what? We're going to see it. We're going to see it. We're going to see the Word of God preached, the Word of God taught in the power of the Spirit of God like never before. We're going to see those things, all the moves that had ever been experienced. We're going to see them culminated. Amen. And we're going to see gifts of the Spirit, the working of miracles. We're going to see those things come in prominence. I've been in meetings where I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen crippled legs straighten out. I've even seen limbs grow out a few inches. Yeah, these things are going to be commonplace in the body of Christ in these end times. Praise God. See, that's His plan. That's His purpose. That's what He wants done, that there be revival. It's His will for us to have revival. Just like the people cried, "Will thou not revive us again?" Are you telling us you're not going to do that? Sure, He's going to. Amen. Because He wants to. Why? Because it's His plan. It's His agenda. The Bible says that the heavens must retain Jesus until the restitution of all things. The Bible talks about times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord. And that's what He wants. Times of refreshing, of renewing, of revivals, of waves of His glory, of waves of His power. And the gagalo, papeta, venita, egala, prata, stugolo, venema, natasa. So stop counting yourself out and saying, "Oh, I know it couldn't be me. I know God couldn't use me. I know there are those big ones that He wants to use out there. I know there are those mighty ones that He will be. People that will be in this moving of His Spirit." Stop saying that, said the Lord. For you see, if you will yield to me, and if you listen to me, and if you simply play your part and take your place in my body and do my bidding, you're going to see that my power will flow through you as well. And you're going to see that you will be a dispenser of my healing ability and of that awesome name of Jesus to bring salvation to the lost souls of man. Amen. Glory to God. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. And you see, there are those who are fearful. They are afraid. Afraid. Oh, what if I miss it? What if I make a mistake? What if I go off? What if I go too far? What if this? What if that? Don't let the devil scare you with those fears. Listen, if you will simply stay in the Word and stay in the place of prayer, you're going to see that you'll stay balanced and you'll stay okay and you'll stay on the cutting edge and you walk in my power, you walk in my glory, and you're healed in any way. But rather, you'll be in the very center of my will and you'll be a blessing unto the sons of men. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, let's ask ourselves a question. What exactly is the purpose of revival? Why this heart cry that God has given to Lighthouse Church in Lagos? Why? What's the essence of it? What's the purpose of revival? I'll say this. Basically, about two or three reasons, two or three purposes for revival. Number one, it's primarily this, that the lost be saved. That the lost be saved. In any genuine move of God, the heart cry of God is for the lost to be saved, is for the unreached to be reached. So you see, in revival, people have a passion for evangelism. People have a passion for the lost, because that's number one. That's God's heartbeat. The lost, the lost, the lost, the unreached, people who haven't yet heard the gospel, people who are on a fast lane to hell. Look, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. See, many of us, we get saved, and we begin to talk about heaven, begin to talk about our mansions, begin to talk about the sweet by and by, and we forget that there are people who are still the way we were, on a fast lane to hell. Look, we can't do that. The Bible says the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died, then all were dead. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. And so they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Listen, there is a cost. There is a reason. And it's about the lost. It's about the lost. Revival is not, you know, so that I can be the man of the moment. I can be trending on Twitter. That's not the purpose of revival. That's not the reason for revival. So that the name of our church, it can be the in thing on everybody's mouth. That's not the purpose of revival. It's primarily about the lost. It's primarily about those who are not saved. It's primarily about those who haven't heard the gospel. It's primarily about those who haven't been reached. See, there are people groups that haven't even heard the gospel once. T.L. Osborne said this, that no man has a right to hear the gospel twice until everybody has heard it at least once. And the fact is this, there are enough resources in the body of Christ to take the gospel around the earth 10 times and many times over. We've got the resources. Amen. So you see, we need to get strategic about this. And we need to let what is important to God be what is important to us. The lost. People who are not saved. People who haven't been reached. Areas where the gospel hasn't reached. You know, there's some streets you go to, there are 5 churches, and I wish there were more. But you see, there's some places, they don't even know what church is. Amen. God wants us to reach those guys. God wants us to take the gospel there. So, the primary purpose of revival is for the lost to be saved. Well, secondly, any genuine revival, we're going to see people walk in close fellowship with God. In any genuine move of God, people are going to walk in close fellowship with God and with one another. Brethren are going to walk in love toward one another, and we're going to walk in close fellowship with God. Any move of God that leaves us the way we are, we live just the way we were living. We're careless about the things of God. We walk in the flesh. No, that's not revival. Revival is going to affect our hearts. Revival is going to affect our lives. Revival is going to cause us to be stirred up about the things of God. It's going to cause us to be on fire for God. It's going to affect our conduct. It's going to affect our perspective. It's going to affect our money. It's going to affect our resources. It's going to affect our priorities. Amen. In any revival, first, it's about the lost being reached. Second, people, born again Christians, are going to walk in close fellowship with God. That's his purpose. That his people will draw near to him. That his people will walk closely with him. That his people will walk in fellowship with him. Will be on fire for him. You know, the Bible says in Romans 12:11, says not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God wants us to be aglow in the spirit. He wants us to be on fire with the things of God's spirit. And that always happens in a genuine move of God. People begin to seek God. People begin to follow after God. People begin to get on fire about the things of God. Get all excited about the things of God. And not only that, like I said, close fellowship with the Lord and with one another. And with one another. Remember what happened in the early church. How, on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1-4, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together, one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting. They appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then the people began to mock, these are full of new wine. People are standing with 11, said, these are not drunk as you suppose. That's verse 14. Sin is but the third hour. This is the fulfillment of that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That and it shall come to pass in the last days are poured of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my handmaidens and on my servants are poured of my spirit in those days. I'll show wonders in the heavens above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he told them in verse 38, repent therefore and be baptized every one of you for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children, all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's verse 39 of Acts 2. And then we saw how 3,000 people got saved there. We get over into Acts 3. Read how Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. And then there was that lame man by the gate, beautiful. And then Peter said to him, look on us. The Bible says he looked on them, expecting to receive something of them. Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, such as I have given thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Immediately, Peter lifted him by the hands, his feet and ankle bones through strength. He walking and leaping, praising God, entered into the temple. And then there was no little stir. My God. And as a result of that man getting healed, 5,000 men got into the family of God. 5,000 souls. Woo! Glory to God. And then we saw the power of God moving. And in Acts 4, how they were taken into question, forbidden not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Peter said, we'd rather obey God than man. He said, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they had been with Jesus, because these were ignorant and unlearned men. And then verse 23 tells us, and being let go, they went back to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they had heard, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, O Lord, thou art God, who has made the heavens, the earth, the seas, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? King of the earth stood up, rulers were gathered against thy son, thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, for do thy counsel at time before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, gather thy servants, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. The Bible says in verse 29, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Where they were assembled together, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Speak the word of God of boldness. The Bible lets us know that with great, great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them. Read about what happened in Acts 5 with Ananias, brother Ananias, sister Sapphira, how God's judgment fell. Whoa, glory to God. And the Bible says they had all things in common. You see, when there's a genuine revival, there is a love among the brethren. Praise God. So that's it. That's critical. It's vital. Us walking in love, teaming together. You know one thing? We will all never see everything eye to eye on the Bible until perhaps when we get to heaven. But you know, we can agree about the things, the basic things. We can agree about the death and the resurrection of Christ. We can agree that new birth is Jesus through the shed blood of his cross. We can agree that we all need to go out and reach a lost and dying world with the gospel. Praise God. And team up together, not fight with one another. Come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. Praise God. That's his plan. So in a genuine move of God, there's close fellowship with God. Amen. Among believers, and then close fellowship with one another. Believers walk in love with one another. That's the plan of God. That's the will of God. That's the purpose of revival. Praise God. And thirdly, number three, society always gets affected. Society always gets affected. Charles G. Finney. It was said of Finney that since the days of the Apostle Paul, no one had but that Finney had, that 80% of Finney's converts stayed in fellowship with God. That was phenomenal. About 50% of his converts who stayed through to the Lord, who stayed in fellowship with God. But Finney's, it was about 80% of them. There was this man, Father Nash, who would go ahead of Finney, wherever Finney was going to preach, and he'll begin to pray, and sometimes groan in the spirit, birth souls, pray out revivals, and we're going to get there. And then the lost will get saved. And then the beer parlors will have to shut down. The honky tonks, all such places, you know, where there was worldly revelings, those places will have to shut down. Why? Because Finney had come to town. Any genuine move of God always impacts society, always affects society. Praise God. See, the Bible says in John's Gospel, the first chapter, the first verse, says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4 says in Him was life. And the life was the light of man. It says the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, the life of God always brings light to man. Jesus said in John 8:12, said, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's something about following Jesus. It brings light. It brings enlightenment. It brings development. It changes society. Now, people talk about Nigeria, our great nation. I tell you, the hope of this nation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we'll get that gospel out, get men and women to get saved, if we'll get the message of truth, revelation, knowledge of God's word out, believers taking their place in Christ, living the life of God, walking in love, walking in godly character. I'll tell you something, it won't be long before society will change, before the nation will change. You see, we are the light of the world. We are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. We are the salt of the earth. And it's the church that's going to change society. It's the church that's going to affect the nation. It's the church that's going to do it. You see, as the priests, also the people, whatever happens in the church is going to affect the nation too. So if you can get all of us going out, being on fire for God, serving the Master, reaching the lost, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, casting out devils, living right. Amen. It won't be long before society is going to get affected as well. Society is going to change. Development is going to come. Amen. Our ills, you know, those things are going to get affected. So you see, the heart cry is revival. The heart cry is revival. And that's the plan of God. That's the will of God, for there to be revival. And the thing about it is this. Revivals don't come by people seeking God half-heartedly. Revivals don't come by people just being mealy-mouthed in prayer. Revivals don't come by people just being wishy-washy about following God, about walking with God. That's not what produces revivals. What's going to produce this revival? How are we going to see the power of God? So I talked about God's plan being revival, how the heavens will retain Jesus until the restoration of all things. I gave examples in Bible times, Old Testament, New Testament, people that blazed revivals, people that spearheaded moves of God. Now the plan of God is for there to be one wave of glory and another wave of glory and another wave of glory. And now from time to time, God emphasizes different truths to the body. Not as though everything is not important. The man shall not live by bread alone, Matthew 4:4, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But sometimes certain truths are almost getting lost. They are not being emphasized like they should. And then God emphasizes that truth, and then he backs it up with his power, and he raises a man to spearhead that move, to spearhead that. And you see, God's plan was never that that wave should die before another one comes. God's plan is that as this wave is coming to the shore, another one rises, and another one rises. If you've ever been by the ocean tide, amen, and you've seen the way those waves come, see, that's the plan of God. And sometimes some people hold on to the last wave, and then there's another wave that's coming in, and they don't get in on the next wave, and then they seem to just die out, they choke in the smoke of in their own smoke. You see, that's not God's will. Yes, we stay with the Word of God, but also we are sensitive to the Holy Ghost, and we're sensitive to whatever the Spirit of God is emphasizing at any given point in time, whatever He emphasis is bringing to the body of Christ. And the thing is this, it's really about each person doing what God has put in their own hearts. Each person doing what God has put in their own hearts. Just when that healing revival was going to start, Oral Roberts had an audible voice. God began to speak to him about a healing ministry. Brother Hagin had a vision September 2nd, 1950, in Rockwall, Texas, caught up to heaven. Jesus gave him a special anointing to minister to the sick. God began to deal with William Branham. Bill Branham, amen, about a healing ministry. See, God was just dealing with those different people at different times. And then everybody started doing what God put in their hearts. And then, like a jigsaw puzzle, it all fitted in together. And then it was a mighty move of God. See, that's how revivals happen. By each person being obedient to play their part, to do their own assignment, to do the thing that God has told them to do. Now, we all have what God wants us to do. Not all of us is going to be used exactly in the same way. You see, the head cannot say to the hand, I don't have need of you. The leg cannot say to the nose, I don't have need of you. It takes all of us working together. It takes all of us playing our part. Amen. That's how revivals happen. And emphasis, the different emphasis that God is bringing to the body of Christ, that God has laid on Pastor Ayo's heart, that for this year, 2021, the emphasis God has put in his heart is revival. Yes, we know in time where we are in the world with the pandemic, you know, last year, started the year before, and that held the world to ransom, brought things to a standstill, and people began to wonder, where is this coming from? Is this God who's doing this? Is this God who's behind this? Is this God who sent this? Listen up, it wasn't God that sent it. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So it wasn't God that brought it. Jesus is the healer. Satan is the oppressor. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Glory to God. Luke 13:16 says, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bone on the Sabbath day. So you see, Satan is the oppressor. Jesus is the healer. God did not bring that pandemic. It wasn't God that did it. Someone says, but God allowed it. Yes, God allowed it. But why did God allow it? Because you see, the heavens belong to the Lord, and the earth he has given to the sons of men. The only reason God allowed it is because Adam allowed it. Adam, in one sense of the word, originally was the God of this world. God gave him dominion under God, of course. God gave him dominion over all the works of his hands. Then Adam disobeyed God, committed high treason. He sold out to the devil. And then Satan began his reign of tyranny on the earth. So it was the devil that brought that. That was what that was about. It was just the devil stealing, killing, destroying. Amen. Sending men to Christless graves. But you see, what should we do at a time like that as the church? Should we dig our heads in the sand like ostriches and pretend like nothing is happening? Should we just say, well, fold our hands, begin to twiddle our thumbs and says, I don't know what to do. Is that what we're to do? Certainly not. As the body of Christ, we're to rise up as a beacon of hope. We're to rise up as the answer to a lost world, to a hurting world, to a dying world. We're to rise up with the power of God. Usually at times like that, people are seeking for answers. People are seeking for God. People are looking for help. If we're not careful, all that's going to be in our mouths is going to be COVID. COVID this, COVID that, COVID that, COVID that. And yes, we ought to be wise. This is my face mask. Praise God. We ought to be wise. We ought to take natural precautions. That's just right. Jesus took away our sins. I like to say, not our brains. And the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Praise the Lord. Remember when the devil took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and told him to jump down, that God said, he began to quote scripture to Jesus. You know the way some are trying to quote scriptures at us today. And he said, he'll give his angels charge over you. Jump down. Amen. And Jesus said, no. He also said that I shall not tempt the Lord thy God. So there's a difference between tempting God and walking in wisdom. We're not to tempt God. We're to walk in wisdom. But you see, we're to stay in faith. Their fear should not be their fear. Their dread should not be our dread. What should we do at this time? This is a time when we can lead men to Jesus. We should lead men to Jesus. We should rise up with the answer. We should rise up with the gospel, because the gospel is the answer. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. So this is an opportunity, a great opportunity, a special opportunity for the body of Christ, for the church, to rise up with the gospel, to rise up with the power of God, to rise up and to reach the lost, to rise up and to be on fire for God, to seek the Lord, to walk in love with one another. Amen. Thank God for advancements in technology. You see, the Bible says, talking about the end times, that men will go to and fro, and that knowledge will increase. Yeah, knowledge has sure increased. Man, the international travel, national travel, local travel that happens today is much more than it has ever been in the history of mankind. We know we're in the last days. We know we're in the end times. The last days actually began on the day of Pentecost. Praise God. You know, because it says, I come to pass in the last days, I pour my spirit upon all flesh. The last days began on the day of Pentecost. So we're actually in the last days of the last days. Amen. But you see, we are to arise and go with the gospel and go with the message of God and go with the power of God and go with the name of Jesus and blaze a trail for the master. Praise God. Begin to prepare the way for his return, which is what this is all about. Revival. It needs to be our heart cry. Now, if we're going to see revival, how are we going to see revival? How is this revival going to happen? Two simple things that will bring revival. They are so simple, you'll need a preacher to help you misunderstand them. So simple. First is this, the word of God. The word of God. See, God's word is the seed that produces revival. God's word. God's word. If you want to see a move of God, if you want to see a demonstration of the power of God, put out the word. See, in Acts 19:20, the Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. If there's a move of the Spirit and the word of God is not going forth, you're not going to see much results. That's the fact. Remember in Genesis 1, from verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says, the earth was without form and was void. Darkness upon the face of the deep. It says, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So yes, there was a moving of God's Spirit. But what happened next? The Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And what happened? Then light came. So you see, if we are to get the best out of any move of God, we have to put the word of God first. If we're going to get the best out of the move of God's Spirit, we've got to put the word of God out and give the word of God first place. So for us to see revival, let's put the word of God out. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. In any genuine move of God, the people of God begin to study the Bible like never before. The people of God begin to live in line with the written word of God, with the Bible. The people of God, they begin to put out, preach the word of God, teach the word of God, blaze the word of God, a renewed hunger for the word of God. You see, because that's the key to any revival. In Mark 16, we read from verse 15 through to verse 20, where Jesus said, the Bible says of him, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. 17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. 19 says, and when he had spoken these words unto them, were received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth, preaching everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Them, in that 20th verse, is actually in italics. It actually reads, the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. See, God walks with his word. God confirms his word. If you want to see more signs, preach more gospel. You want to see more power, put out the gospel. Put out more gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. So you see, the gospel is the power. The gospel is the power. If you want to see the power, put out the gospel. Put out the message of God's word. Preach the word. Teach the word. 2 Timothy 4:2, the Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Don't preach theories. Don't preach philosophies. Preach the word. Just put out the word. The good old word. Like Smith Wigglesworth described it. He said the word of God is supernatural in origin. Eternal in duration. Infinite in scope. Infallible in authority. Creative in power. Regenerative in ability. Universal in application. Inspired in totality. Then he went on to say this. Read it through. Write it down. Pray it in and pass it on. Wigglesworth said, the word of God changes a man until he becomes an epistle of God. So if we want to see revival, real revival, lasting revival, let's get into the word of God. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's feed our spirits on that Word. Let's build the Word of God into our hearts. Let's pursue God with all our hearts. Let's walk in line with God's Word. You see, I'll tell you something. Those who bear the vessels of the Lord must be holy. That's a fact. Amen. And the Bible says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, revival fire burns brighter through purer vessels. And that's why we need to separate ourselves to the Word of God. Build the Word of God into our hearts. If you don't know the Word of God, you're not going to know a genuine move of the Spirit and be able to distinguish it for something that's not the Spirit of God. You're not going to be able to judge these things correctly. So let's get into the Word like never before. Let's put that Word into our spirits. Amen. Let's put it into our hearts. In Hebrews chapter 2, as I begin to wrap this up, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, but with signs and wonders, diverse miracles and gifts, distributions, amen, of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So you see, God will always bear witness to his word. God has magnified his word above his name. You see, the written word is given to us to unveil the living word to us. The only way you can know Jesus is through, the primary way you get to know him is through the pages of the Holy Writ. So let's get into the Bible. Let's build the Bible into our hearts and let's preach the gospel. See, the bolder we are to proclaim the message of God's word, the more of his power we're going to see. Amen. With every head bowed and eye closed. Yeah, I'm not done. I'm going to continue tomorrow. I've just mentioned one of the keys, which is the word. There's a second one, which I'll talk about tomorrow. With every head bowed and eye closed. Amen. If you're under the sound of my voice today, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, listen, there's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. Jesus is God's gift to a lost and dying world. And God's not going to take back that gift. Amen. See, the gospel is this, that God was personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world into favor with himself, not counting up or holding against men their trespasses. You can receive that restoration to favor with God right now. Anybody, where you are, amen. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. You're in the service right there. You're not born again. Or maybe you once knew the Lord, but you're out of fellowship with him. You haven't been walking in fellowship with the Lord. Could you just lift up your hand? Amen. Simple enough in faith, bold enough in courage. Just lift up your hand where you are. Praise God. Are any hands lifted there? Amen. Just lift up your hand where you are. Are any hands lifted there? Praise God. Praise God. Just lift up your hand where you are. Well, I know people are streaming in who might not be in the service. So I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer to receive Jesus into your heart. Amen. Just say after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died for me and he was raised from the dead. Right now, I take Jesus as my Savior and I confess him as my Lord. Thank you because I'm saved. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that simple prayer, get in touch with Pastor Ayo. Amen. Lighthouse. That's a good church. Solid church. And they're going to get you information that will help you to grow in your knowledge of God. Praise God. Maybe you're there and you have a pain right there. In the name of Jesus Christ, the power of God goes into that eye. It's like, now, in the name of Jesus, someone who's been having this sharp pain in their chest, you've been having a sharp pain right there in your chest, a sharp pain, amen, in the name of Jesus, be healed, praise God. Well, I'm going to minister more to the sick tomorrow, amen, and we're going to learn more, and we're going to be impacted some more, and we're going to be renewed. We're going to be refreshed. Amen. And we're going to have a jumping time, a shouting time, a running time, and a very hilarious time in the Lord tomorrow. Amen. I'm going to wrap this up, and we'll have more time to minister. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,